Hallelujah. All right. It's not in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 17. We're still on faith for all seasons. Matthew's Gospel 17. You know, there are some basics in the Christian walk. They are fundamental. They must be part of your life. One of them is a faith walk. Hallelujah. How many of you know that, you know, how many of you have received miracles? I ask this question all the time, you know. It's to remind you, right? It's good to remind yourself. You know, sometimes you can get in the world and you're just talking like unbelievers. A man called me today, I've ever met him before. He was an old boy of my school. So he was talking to me and he called me. He said, he's a Christian, called from the United States of America. So he said, what amazes me the most, in the 70s was my father's junior. So he said, what amazes me the most is that when you find the greatest complaining, grumbling about the country is from believers. He didn't even know I was a pastor. He just called me up. He said, my boy, because that's how we call a young, they call my own generation feeding bottle. When some of them are in their late 80s, so you can know why they call us feeding bottle. And so the man said, how? Christians? So what are they preaching in the churches? That Christians are the number one complainers in the country. So they now turn the complaining to prayer. You don't know that they are complaining, they think they are praying. Oh God, ha! You just be like the world. Praise the Lord. At least if you don't know anyone, thank God that He saved you. What about that one? I know that one, but full price. Hallelujah. We need to learn not to complain. Is that okay? I was teaching them, if you listen to the teaching on being filled with the Spirit, I said, the reason why we must give thanks always is because the earth is God's temple. You understand? And in His temple, Psalm 29 verse 9 says, they say glory. You can't, the reason why murmuring is wrong is because it is God's temple. You can't do anyhow. You give thanks. Hallelujah. In all things, we give you thanks. We give you praise and thanksgiving at all times. In everything, we give you thanks. We give you thanks. We just give thanks. Praise the Lord. You know, Brother Dukes has a very funny answer to anything you tell him. Anything you tell him. He said, praise God. You hear what I said? Say, I heard you. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's just a response. We give him thanks. Hallelujah. Let him give thanks. Romans 12 verse 2 says, do not let this world squeeze you into his own mold. Are you here? So Matthew 17, skip the protocol, the protocol text. You already know, right? Matthew 1:1, the book of the genealogy, that word there is Genesis, of Jesus Christ, the son of David, son of Abraham. And then verse 20, chapter 28, Lo, I'm with you. That's a signature of God. First one opens the humanity of Jesus. Last one, you can say it yourself, right? Mark's Gospel 1:1, the beginning of the word beginning there is RK. That means the writer intends that we should go back to Malachi, Isaiah. If you have read Malachi and Isaiah, you must read David. If you have read David, you must read Exodus and read Genesis. What about that one? Mark 16? The Lord working with. Okay, 19. Went to the right hand. Right hand is not the right side. I know you are using the evangelism. Then look why I cannot quote that one. You quickly go to 24:25. And says, oh fool, slow of heart. And 27, all the scriptures. 44, 45. Yeah, done. John 1:1. The word logos is not speaking word. It's the bar. Genesis 3:8. Genesis 15:1-2. You see in Samuel he stood. We are done with that one. John 20:22. I came and spoke of them to receive you the Holy Ghost, breathe there. When you check the Greek, I have this my Bible, the Lexham English. It's not here, right? That's why I'm just picking it up for you. That's emphasized. The first time he says Genesis 2:7, the Lord God, I mean Jesus the Lord God. Alright, so let's go to the subject of the day. Matthew 17. Now there was a scenario here, which is a boy who was possessed, or a child, sorry, who was possessed. And verse 14, they came to the multitude, that came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic, and so vexed, for oftentimes he falls into the fire, and often into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. All right? And Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer with you or suffer you? Bring him either to me. And verse 18 says, Jesus rebuked the devil and he departed out of him. Now, pay very good attention. We read Mark 11 the other day, and the same principle is found here. Even though the scenario of Mark 11 is in Matthew 21, but the same principle is here. And the child was cured from that very hour. And then came the disciples to Jesus and said, why could not we cast him out? And he said, because of your unbelief. For verily I say, the verily means amen, faithfully, I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Raise your two hands, says nothing shall be impossible unto me in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Look at the consistency. In Mark 11:22, it says, have faith in God. For verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have what things soever that he says. It's too consistent to miss it. In Matthew 6:31 says, take no thought, that's the word anxiety, saying. So which means that when it comes to anxiety, and anxiety works just like fear. It works just like worry. It's actually worry. It works like unbelief. It works with words. You will know you are walking in doubt by your words. You don't even know you're walking in something in your thoughts, even though it's going to come out eventually. It's from your words. You will know what's dominating your mind. Remember when Jesus and disciples went to the other side, crossed over to the other side, in Mark 4. And there was a storm. We're going to talk about storms in a moment. And then he says that he was in the inner pillow of the ship, and he was sleeping, the boat, sorry, and he's sleeping. And disciples say, look, Master, carest not that we perish? You know? Then what did he do? He calmed the storm. But what did he say to them? He said to them, wow, you have little faith. How did he know they had little faith? By what they said. So we often say that doubt, worry, anxiety and fear die unborn till they are spoken. You must learn to face doubt and conquer it. You must learn to face anxiety. Philippians 4:6, 4:4 says, rejoice again, I say unto you, rejoice. Verse 5 says, let your moderation be known unto all men, for the Lord is at hand. Then verse 6, be anxious for nothing. Or prayer, supplication with thanksgiving. It says, let your requests be made known unto God. With prayer, supplication with thanksgiving. So we can't afford to be anxious. Praise the Lord. So where Jesus says, if you say unto this mountain, if you say, you shall say, sorry, unto this mountain. Mark 11 is 1 to 20. If you say, I said the overall picture of Mark 11 is that Jesus is talking about the temple. And he's speaking about the temple. It shows us the principle of faith in God. By our words, the things that we say. But look at what is going on here. They found a challenge, a problem, an impossibility. What we said in the other series about darkness. Darkness and storms. Where things are not going as planned. Things are not going as you wanted. But like I said earlier on, you know, we can easily forget these simple principles, the basic things. The basic things. A man was talking about a sport. He said, there are some basic things that you should know them. Sometimes we are particular about the, let me use the word, the complex issues. So where, so what now happens when believers die? Are they going to remain here? You know, sometimes you can bog down. There are important questions you must answer. Right? I say, what about the rapture? What's about rapture? What about the Antichrist? Theological questions that should be answered. Who can be saved? But those are complicated things. I mean, so complex, not complicated, sorry. Complex things you have to, but you know, some things are very simple. And those are the things you require for everyday life. They are not the complex things. The complex things will arise at some point. So you will have crisis of faith, so that your worship of God becomes effective, so that you can also help others. Yeah, I do. So both of them work together. But you must also realize there are some very simple things. They are simple enough, shouldn't be complicated. I mean, should not be forgotten. Simple things. Like the Christian walk. Get up in the morning and have a morning devotion. You know, it's so simple. It's as important as doing a 6-hour Bible study that is so deep. You can't always do 6-hour Bible study. You can't always have 20 hours of that time of deep prayers. But you know, you can have that very early in the morning. Take out 1 hour. Mama Gloria Copeland. In a teaching series, a pressing into the things of God. I listened to that teaching. I can't remember. Some teachers have listened to that. I can't remember how many times. Pressing into the things of God. She said many times when we're waiting on God, it's waiting on us. And then that's where she said, she was quoting Brother Higgins' prophecy. Brother Tooks is not here. Should I have just called him? Which year? I think it was 1982. Where Brother Higgins had a prayer seminar where he said that if you can just give God a tenth of your time every day, spend like 2 hours just fellowshipping with him. Some basic things, very basic. No matter how much you learn about sin, amataya, chata, you explain, and you say, you know, the basic thing will still be feed on the word every day. Meditate upon the word day and night. Joshua 1:8. Psalm 1 verse 1 to 3. So some things are not complex. Oh, who is an apostle? Who is a prophet? We'll look at many texts of scripture. We'll begin to look at the context. So you can see, even that Mark 11, we'll look at the temple. But some things in the everyday life are very simple things. Things that you have seen before. That you didn't have to know some important theology. You just know very well that if you say with your mouth what you believe in your heart, it will come to pass. Hallelujah. You've seen it before, right? You say with your mouth what you believe in your heart, it will come to pass. You know, a man said something years ago, I said, I don't believe it. He said, say it. I said, no, I can't say it because I don't believe it. I won't say it. I won't say what you're saying because I don't believe it. Praise the Lord. I don't believe it. And you can't get me to even believe it. I had this conversation with a man. The man, he had said so many things to me that day. Somebody else came inside and said very negative things. Many of us don't know that when those things come, they can settle on your mind. You won't know when you start thinking about it. I said it on Sunday. Remember how you'll be singing songs you never knew you knew. Not the one you know. I never knew I knew it. He said, how did I get to know this kind of song? Because you heard it. Say it on your mind. So as soon as the man said, you know what? Just go and pray about it. I'm not going to pray about it. He said, I'm not going to say it because I don't believe it. And I began to walk. I began to talk. In fact, if you knew me years back, I still do it today. I'm just talking and walking. There's also good morning. I wasn't greeting you. So I now say good morning, but they now look at me. I thought you were the one that greeted me first. I was not talking to you. I was talking to the future. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You understand? So, there are some simple things. I believe in my heart. I say with my mouth. Praise the Lord. If words weren't powerful, then no one will be saved when we preach. It means words are powerful. Paul says God chose that through the foolishness of preaching, 1 Corinthians 1:21, to save. Go into all the world and think the gospel. Huh? Preach it. You preach it with words. He that believes. Romans 10:17, that's Mark 16:16. Romans 10:17, faith is from the preaching. That means if a man is preaching, you know, he said that, how can they call upon him who they have not believed? How can they believe in whom they have not heard? That's what he said. Then he said, how can they hear, Romans 10:14, through to 16, without a preacher? How can they preach except they be sent? Notice the key part of it is that they cannot call if they have not believed. They can't believe if they have not heard. Heard who? It's not heard from God. It's heard from someone. How can they preach except they be sent? How beautiful are the feet of those who carry the glad tidings of good things. Isaiah 52:7, Nahum 1:5. So because you preach, showing you how important your words are. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The words are powerful. That's when you preach and it's believed, the man is born again. You know, at that instant, when you speak the word of God, the Holy Ghost begins to live in the brother. At that point, how did it happen? You just spoke. Words. Minister the power of salvation. What else do words do? Words are used in prayer. First of all, Paul says, 1 Timothy 2:1, prayer, supplication, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Prayer is in words. When you pray, say. Jesus said that when you pray, say. Hallelujah. How do you think what you say doesn't matter? When you pray, say. It is that when you pray, think. When you pray, say. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Matthew 6 verse 8 and 9. When you pray, say. Hallelujah. When you preach, say. The kingdom of God is at hand. Say. You say it. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
What else? We praise God in words. We lift our voice. We praise God in words. God is spirit. But those words communicate praise to Him. Salvation is a supernatural experience. But words communicate salvation. Prayer is a supernatural conversation. And words convey prayer. Hallelujah. We edify people by words. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul says, he that speaks in tongues, verse 2, speaks not to men but to God. For no man understands. Albeit in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. He speaks to God. He speaks to God. Verse 3 says, he that prophesies speaks unto men. 1 Corinthians 14, 3. Unto edification, exhortation and comfort. He that speaks in tongues, verse 4, edifies himself. Then it says in verse 5, greater is he that prophesies than he that speaks in tongues, except he interprets, then brings edifying to the church. Words. In 1 Corinthians 14 and 26, when you come together, Paul says, you know, every one of you, you have a tongue, you have an interpretation, you have a revelation, you have, a psalm, a revelation, a tongue, interpretation, and a doctrine. Let all things be done to edify. Then it says in verse 26, he that speaks in tongues, let it be by two speaking. So never think your mouth is for eating alone. It does more than eating food. With your mouth, your lips, you preach. With your lips, you preach. With your lips, you pray. With your words, you pray. With your words, you preach. With your words, you give thanks to God. With your words, you edify. If our scriptures now warn you, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Just, that's Ephesians 4:29. Same thing that the Proverbs, the writer of Proverbs says in Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of a tongue. Corrupt communication is that which affects other people. So if your words are not important, why are we instructed on our words? On what you say? Hallelujah. So, if God uses your words to save, to pray, both for yourself and others, to praise, that means He wants you to place value on your words. Are you here? On your words. Look at Numbers 14, from 13, sorry. Numbers 13. Now this is the spies. Those that were, I was just being objective. I was just telling what was on my mind. Numbers 13. They were sent to bring back the report. But you see what? They gave the report of what they saw. But are we meant to say just what we saw? No. When they came back, Numbers 13. They tell in verse 27. But let me take verse 26. They brought back word, the big part, unto them and said, and to all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And told him, look at it, and said, watch this. They told him and said, I was speaking to some pastors, I get to talk to them, the particular denomination, and I said to them, when I said it, the provost of college, he called me after the class, and he said, what you just said now is so important. I said, don't put anybody in leadership who will spread things that are negative. And look at this. He said here, they said, we came to the land, verse 27, whither thou sent us, and surely it flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, what's going on here? They said, this is the word of God we know. What they said, God had told them before. So we saw what God said, but nevertheless, in spite of it, in spite of the fact that, yes, the word of God is true, we saw it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. And the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the sons of Anak, the children of Anak, the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south and the Hittites. And they went on. Look at the description. Very detailed. They found the context of their dwelling. The pretext and post-text. And then verse 30, Caleb stopped the people before Moses and said, let us, and said, notice it. Now, they said, he said. They said, he said. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. They said, he said. Let us go up at once and possess it. For we are able to overcome it. And the men that went up with him said, can you see, they said again, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Why couldn't they just behave it? Because they know words will transmit your actions before you act on it. Words. They brought up an evil report. Look at what the scriptures say. They brought up an evil report. Evil there means to oppose. An opposition. Opposite report of a land which they had searched to the children of Israel. Look at the impact. And he says, all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried. See how the voices are increasing. Woo! And cried. They didn't lift up their voice to praise God. They cried, and the people wept that night, vigil of doubt. Vigil. Or the, as you say in Nigeria, night vigil. Look at 2. And the children of Israel, all them, murmured against, watch this, excuse me, against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation did what? And said, look at verse 14. And they said, hallelujah. You can say, but we're just gisting. No, you were not gisting. You were walking in unbelief. But we're just talking. I didn't think it was wrong. My sister just told me about what she read. And, you know, and he told me about what he, I mean, it was just a gist. It was a, let's go. It was an innocent gist. Who told you he's innocent? No, it wasn't innocent. And they said, and then they murmured, see how it's going, graduated from a logical conversation to murmuring. Let us make a captain, verse 4, and return to Egypt. Praise the Lord. Verse 6 says, Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them and sat the land, rent their clothes. But watch it, they spake unto all the company of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delight in us, then will bring unto this land and give it to us a land that flows with milk and honey. Only rebel, watch this, rebel not ye against the Lord. So in following God's plan for your life, your words are important. And they went on and on, but the congregation wanted to stone them in verse 10. Look at verse 28. I'll start from 24. I'll start from 22. 23. Surely they shall not see the land which I swore to their father. Neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he has another spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. With him, and had followed me fully, him will I bring into the land. And so he went, and his seed possessed it. Look at verse 28. Say unto them, let's say 28 together. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as you have spoken in my ears. Did you see that? No, but Pastor, they were not talking to God, oh. They didn't even mention God at that point. Look at it. They didn't mention God until verse 14. When they implied and they mentioned God, chapter 14, would God we had died in the wilderness? Would God we had died in the land of Egypt? He said, he heard it. He said, what you have spoken in my ears, I'll do it. They said. Don't forget. So that means that anxiety can also be given to you by what?
Words.
Panic. Watch what you say on the telephone. What you say. What your text you send by SMS or WhatsApp. And really, there are people that are very crazy on WhatsApp. I mean, they are very crazy. I had to warn someone one day. He belonged to a group that I belong to. So he sent me one very stupid stuff. I said, please, I respect you. Don't ever forward messages to me again. He said, no, I was just thinking, no. Don't forward such things to me. I don't want to read them. I know what I want to read. Praise the Lord. Don't forward that kind of stuff to me anymore. We're just having a gist. No, not you and I. I have no fellowship with demons. See, words got people to believe, right? Words also get people not to believe. And I'm saying this, you know, I'm not trying to indict ministers. I had this meeting I had with some younger friends, and then they asked me some questions. And I said to them, I said, from the pulpit, the preaching, the message, the prophecies, the response that come from some pulpits, was enough to make believers just discontent about the country Nigeria. So go listen to what they say. We grew up in this country with words. You watch it on TV. Nigeria go survive. 86. Africa go survive. Where's the Wonderful Shaka sang a song in 1982? I love my country, I know good life. Now inside I'm going to live and die. You don't know who sang the song? It was the one that composed it. If he push me, I push him. I know go die or something like that. I've forgotten the lyrics. And in that song, he was lamenting. Another one in the 70s. Ilule ogo so wo lode. Obirikigbe. You know, that was in the 70s. I was singing one of the 60s for you too. Another one, Lamentation of Sodom by Jake Solo. That's the song, Lamentation of Sodom by Jake Solo. My dad had that, used to play, what do you call that thing? Little round table and turntable. I forgot that song though. But that wasn't the job of church. Now the Lamentation now is in church. Brethren, words. I said, Pastor, I said, you cannot tell us the gospel will cover Nigeria and you'll be saying what you are saying. So I'm just being objective. I understand. Be theory, not just objective. Stupid. The word of God is positive. Hallelujah. Are you here? In your conversations with people, know your conclusion. I'm not asking you to deny the facts. God's word doesn't deny the facts. But as you present the facts, present the truth of God's word that supersedes those facts. Are you here? Don't forget, your words get people born again. You pray with your words. You praise with your words. You edify with your words. You can also destroy with your words. Their parents are like that. They just talk anyhow. Imagine a child battling the words of his parents. Oh boy, so bad. There's a kid here in this church. I can say it because you won't know the person. And the parents say, "You don't smile." I said, "That's not how to say it." Start saying, "You're a joyful boy, you're a joyful girl." You don't know whether it's a boy or a girl. A joyful girl. Say it often. That's all you need to say. You know, sometimes, you know, you battle that with your parents, then you want to do generational course validated. You're about to violate that doctrine. You know, say it's not for me, but you have done it. It's for you. Use your words. How many times your children, you're beautiful, you're brilliant. What an intelligent guy you are. While you're correct, use your words well. Praise the Lord. All men are, so Christians. All men are Christians. You're not getting the book, you say, there's new creature in Christ. No. All men are. All women are. There's no way in the word of God that the Bible groups everybody like that. He separated the light from the darkness. You united it. All Nigerians are. Are you not one? With born again, oh, spirit filled, tongue talking, demon casting, heaven possessing. Hallelujah. My words matter. In Genesis chapter 1 verse 3, the first thing God does, he calls darkness and light. He says, light be. Then he names the darkness and separates it from the light. He spoke. Hallelujah. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, look at it. Praise God. You know, there are people today that value, when they have problems in life, they value their account first. I remember something Pastor Chris Oyagilome said one day, and it really got my attention. He was talking about, he said, it gets to the point that because people can now, people use their faith when they were in school for healing because they couldn't afford drugs. Simple edict in Jesus' name. Even the scripture is not healing scripture, you confess. I am the head and not the tail. Healing scripture. Head and not the tail. All the adultery we are now explaining in Isaiah 53, Romans 18. You used it to be healed. If the spirit of him that walk, you look and you say, you have exam, you are sick. You use your faith quick. The word of God is working in my life. In the name, I believe in my heart, I say with my mouth. You now say that now you have money. You can afford to buy drugs, medication. You are not putting your faith in your money. It's not really the drugs you're putting your faith in. It's in your money. I can afford the surgery. I can afford to buy this. I can afford that one. But it'll get to a point that money will fail you. It will fail you. Not you, amen. Because I know you have no faith in money. You got your faith in God. Hallelujah. But also put your faith in money. There will be things that money cannot solve. At all. For Psalm 17. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Blessed be God. Some of us here used to use your words before church services. Power of God is going to flow in the service today. You know, and that's what you said before the service. You said, oh, pastor is going to minister to me. I'm going to receive the word of God. Now, you've allowed the world to bog you down. As you're going to church, you say, yeah, how am I going to? Yeah, tomorrow's Monday, Abi. You're going to church, oh? Monday. Ah. And I don't have full tank. Before, you go to church and say, I was filled with the Holy Ghost. I said, we have full time. So, you're not talking about service again. You say, so when you're through from church, that means I have to, okay. There's a feeling after the service. Okay, I can get it. But I thought I was going to branch at my dad's place. I'll send him SMS. That might go. Say, 20 liters, 15 liters. No. You are going to church. Where usually you will have said, you'll be speaking in tongues and say, what a great service is going to be. Now you say, ah, what a great foil. What a great foil. It's funny, but you have changed. You have changed. That's what has happened to you. You have allowed the world to mold you. Anyway, you get, one day I was going to preach for a friend. I was going to speak for a friend. I was going to see a friend near Volkswagen Ojo. Lagos is Ojo. Ojo is Ibadan, right? So, and I remember that day I was in Federal Mass Transit. No, there was the yellow one, Vaseline. Your yellow train. No, not you. Yeah, that's your area now. That yellow one, that people can stand there. Yeah, that's the one I'm talking about. It still flies the route. They've stopped. Oh my God. That was in the early 90s. And I was going to see a friend of mine. And the Lord said I should listen to how people talk. And the things I get to my, so I just kept quiet. Are you trying to listen to people around you, what they say? Or record yourself? You say, hey? I said this to my boss, to my co. Eh? I said this. You said it too. So I listened. From the, cause we took the bus, I think that was a bus from mile 2. Till we got to Volks, Free Niger, Abule Ado, Lakija. Then we have barracks. It was satellite, then second gate. Is that it? Am I still remember? This was, I went there in the 90s. Free Niger. Abule, huh? Maza, thank you very much. There was no Abspamda then. Abspamda is the recent one. From every, people just talk. Negative. Somebody will bring out one drug. Hey! Can you cure poverty? So, A guy in front, he was in front. He was talking back. He said, can your drug cure the problems of this country? One of them said, he said, can this drug keep up Agida? So I listened. But you know the thing is, those words get to your heart. Well, you know, you also just, you just get home, you are just angry. You don't know why. They will say good morning, you will not say, what's good in the morning? Something that programmed your mind. Have you found yourself just in, to nobody, you. Words. That was what those elders did. They spoke words. Don't forget. Words bring the power of God, salvation to the hearts of people. Words have power. Both written words and spoken words. I read something, probably I'll put next week. Someone, Mr. Lakey Alder, he also is, I call him a minister of the gospel. He said, there's a lot of negativity. In fact, in the New York Times, I read something there. I was going to show you that on Sunday. Oh, now it's, I think, on Saturday, where we'll get to What's Man, if I have the time to talk about that. And they had to go to court. They found out that the boy was a very young boy, innocent boy, but when he got on Twitter, TikTok, he was programmed to be a terrorist. He was just reading and reading. I'd seen that before in my secondary school. A guy just was acting awkwardly. He just speak awkwardly. We felt it was maybe he was worried. Then one night, he just got up, started running. And he began to say words that he took brethren and the non-brethren. Brethren, you know, brethren didn't have like powers, physical power. Brethren were speaking in tongues and casting demons. The non-brethren were helping us, heaven and earth. He was going to jump over. They stopped him. He said, no. He had read a book. That was the next chapter. Yeah. I'm not talking about something I heard. I saw it myself. Today they are programming young people to accept the transgender life. To say there's no gender. The homosexual life. How are they doing it? Words. Just words. You read it. So Mr. Lakey Alder, who I believe is a minister of the gospel, said there's so much negativity going on in the media. You have to know what you are not going to watch again, what you are not going to see, what you are not going to read, what you are not going to be looking at. Let them know at your workplace that they can't spread negativity around you. Let them know who you are. Praise the Lord. Words are power. You just become upset. Just angry. Why is it that somebody told you something about someone? You didn't see it. You now became upset with that person. You didn't see it though. Say, come. Do you know? Eh? He said, eh? You now see the person next. Good morning. Morning, dog. What's brother? Nothing. What happened to you? Words. Words. So if God, I don't want to say God values words, but that's the best way I can say it now. If God can place value on words, he asks us to use it to preach, to minister to others, to pray, to build people. Then you get in a joke with your words. Are you here? First Samuel 17. Blessed be God. I said, blessed be God. You know what we said? We said, They are not complicated things, right? Not complex things. Just believe in your heart and say it with your mouth. Matthew, 1 Samuel 17. Remember, between David and Goliath. Watch this. I'm going to read 1 Samuel 17. Now, when he got to Goliath, in verse 41, the Philistine came on and drew near to David, and the man that bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of fair countenance. Now look at 43. And the Philistine what? Said. That's it. That's it. He said. Unto who? Said, am I a dog? Yes, you are. That you came with me with staves. What does he do? And the Philistine what? He kept talking. By his gods. I told him many of these things are spiritual. By his gods. Who are you? By his gods. One man like that was speaking something. I just said, look, I don't know what you're saying. Right? Whatever you are saying is dead on arrival. Because he was saying some language. I don't know what he was saying. I didn't bother to know. But I say in the name of Jesus, whatever language I use, it will affect you. In the name of Jesus, above all, your own language, for those who speak your language. Okay. And he said to David, come to me. He kept talking. I'll give thy flesh to the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Look at 45. Then David said, hallelujah. It was a war of words. David said to the Philistine, thou came to me with a sword, with a spear, with a shield. I come to you with my catapult. No. In the name of the Lord of hosts. So it's a spiritual warfare, right? The God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This day, when the Lord deliver thee to my hand, I'll smite thee and take thy head from thee, and I'll give the carcasses of the hosts of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, to the wild beasts of the earth, and all the earth will know that there's a God in Israel. And all this assembly will know that the Lord saveth not with a sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord, and he'll give you to our hands. It came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David. David hastened and ran. Watch this. Who are the last words? Who are the last words? Always have the last words. Praise the Lord. The Philistine said and David said. Hallelujah. Always have the last words. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He said, if you can say to this man, if you say to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast to the sea. That's what Jesus said. If you say, when you pray, say. Praise God. Learn to speak the word of God. Learn to speak the, I know those of us who are preaching the word, who preach, learn to hear what you are preaching. Sometimes I make myself the audience of what I'm saying. Hallelujah. Because I want to hear it myself. Glory to God. Say glory to God. Hallelujah. David didn't let Goliath have the last say. You won't have the last say. Praise the Lord. Never let the doctor's report be the last say. You have the last say. I believe God's word. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I believe God's word. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The words have power. There's value in them. Don't joke around it. Say, well, I was just joking, you know, it was just a joke. Bible says there are some jokes that are not convenient. You can tease people, but not about your health, not about your spiritual life, not about your ministry. Don't joke around very important and grave things. Are you here? Anywhere you see anybody, criticize miracles, mock them, shift. Don't listen to the end. So I said, what if the miracle was fake? I don't want to know. Because you are going to dampen your own resolve. Praise the Lord. I believe in miracles. Hallelujah. Goliath said, David, you know how he started? These are simple things. They are not complex. They are not at all. They are simple things. Believe in your heart. Say with your mouth what you believe in your heart. I believe in my heart that there is no confusion on my path. A brother came to me for counseling one day. And he said, sir, I don't know what to do. I said, go back. When you know what to do, come and talk to me. He felt I was sounding crazy. So the next time he came, he said, what I was trying to tell you yesterday, what I don't know what to do, I said, what I was also trying to tell you yesterday was that when you know what to do, you come back. So at some point, I think the third time, I said, oh, now I know. I said, now let's talk. Let's start from faith. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Let's start from what we believe. Right now, we are seeing things that are different from what we believe, but the testimony of the word of God is higher and greater.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Are you in church? Last time we said there are three storms that can happen to a man. One of them is from your own disobedience. We saw Jonah, right? God asked him to do something. And some of us sometimes, we don't even know how to repent. Some of the repentance is, I'm dead. Oh, are you Judas? Oh, I'm finished. You think that's repentance? I'm finished. Oh, I can never ever do well in ministry again with it. Shut up! He missed God. It was so horrible that there were some guys who were bringing a sacrifice to another God that pushed him inside the water. What a problem. In those days, me and my friends would say, who is the Jonah here? Let's push you inside the water. Don't come on. We used to have very interesting things like that. Whenever we cook, oftentimes when we cook, the food gets burnt. We say, who sinned? Every time we cook, there was time like that. Larry used to be the chief cook. Tunji was the best cook, but Larry was the chief cook. Tunji could cook very well. I don't know. Tunji cooks very, very well. You know, there was a time like that. He got us to fast for a long time. Then he prepared a very good meal. He made us smell the meal. They said we extended the meal, fast to the next day. Silly guy. So, we're cooking and he cooked yam. So we're having a study. And when we were to get the yam eventually, he didn't peel it. I haven't seen that before. He said it was in order to just put the yam right inside. What man? Your pastor's had somewhere like that. Shall I tell them? They had a room like that in school. Ward HQ. Ward headquarters. They would bring people there to just come and hack their soul. This was like a shrine. Pastor Funke went to visit them one day. She screamed, said, Pastor, these guys are not living, they're not living like normal people. I said, what are they? So I had that experience too. And they had, don't have them. All right. You know, your words. Jonah got into disobedience. That means he was the one that was wrong. Jonah 2. As soon as he got inside, and this is exactly the motif in the death of Jesus. As soon as he got inside the whale's belly. Look at verse 1. Then, Jonah 2. Jonah prayed to the Lord God. Hallelujah. He used his words and said, verse 4, then I said, hallelujah. He's speaking. He talked himself and talked and talked and talked and talked and talked. And talked. He didn't say, oh, this whale is big. Oh, I'm in hell. Oh, ah, this is hell. Oh, you're in hell. There's no point talking about it. He talked. That means the storm that came because of his own actions. He used his words. Praise the Lord. Because God's love is everlasting. His saving power is everywhere. In all circumstances and situations. Even when you are made the greatest errors in the name of Jesus, the path is cleared for me. Oh, by the power of the Holy Spirit. The love of God overwhelms my errors and my mistakes. So I have direction this very minute. I'm delivered this very minute. I'm rescued this very minute. Praise the Lord. That's what Jonah did. His own error, his own mistakes, crass disobedience. But he spoke words. So there's no circumstance. Even the one you, now we're not asking you to go and create a problem and say, don't worry, I'll use my words. No. That's stupid. You found yourself in an error. Wow, what have I just done? It's in the name of Jesus. Light is on my path. There are no shadows. I walk in wisdom. The wisdom of God will control this circumstance. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm upward bound with the word. I'm upward bound with the world. There are no shadows on my way. There's no darkness in my path. Hallelujah. I walk out of this unscathed. I walk out of this without scars. In the name of Jesus. That's how to do it. You speak words. 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 Hallelujah. You know, a non-Christian, not born again, maybe he is now. He could quote a lot of Bible verses. He was my boss and a mentor too. And he told me his life story. He is a professor. And he got out of the College of Medicine in America. I think he was 19 or 18. He was given awards, gifted children. So because they didn't want him to practice, they said they'll give him like 2 years because of his age. Within that period, he got a PhD in nuclear physics. He was excellently brilliant. So I said, doctor, let's go. I said, yes. He said, I wasn't always like that. He said, when I was 4, going to 5, I couldn't comprehend with all of my mates. Said, my dad now resolved. His dad is a very popular Nigerian. Said, as you go to Quranic school. Said, my dad didn't even think I was going to make it. So they sent me to Quranic school. So my mom now called. Every morning, she put her hands on me. And said, you're going to be great. Jalil, you're going to be great. And said those things. Said it for weeks. He said, somehow I just picked up. I just started comprehending things. Then faster, better. Till he became a professor. A non-Christian. Hallelujah. He wasn't a believer. His mom was a believer. I think so. Because from the family the mom came from, I think she was. Just kept speaking words. Said somehow I grew up with those words. Hallelujah. Just words. Amen. In Mark 4, Jesus was in a storm. Mark 4, We mentioned that earlier. And that storm wasn't caused by him. Verse 37, there arose a great storm of wind and the waves beat into the ship. So it was now full. Was in the part of the ship asleep on a pillow. And the waking man said, Master, cares so that we perish. He arose and rebuked, right? And said, hallelujah, to the sea, peace be still. Then he said, why are you so fearful? Some of us will start from verse 40. Why are you so fearful now? Stop it, stop it. Hallelujah. Whether it's a storm brought by the devil or circumstances or the one that you by your errors, not a known error, not a deliberate one, but you got into that problem. Use your words. Hallelujah. In Acts of the Apostles chapter 27. You see, Paul Paul had told them, you saw that the other day, he told them expressly, Acts 27. In verse 9, he admonished them and said in 10, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will hurt and much damage, not only the laden and ship, but also of our lives. Look at 11. Read 11. I read that never less before. Aha. The centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which, but who is this one? You're a prisoner you're talking. Shut up. If your faith was working, why are you in jail? Joking guy. Go and sit down inside the cell. You're talking God. You know God? What happened? It became really bad. Verse 8 says there was great, 18, sorry, tempest. The next day they lightened the ship. The third day were cast with their own hands attacking another ship. And neither sun nor stars in the many days appeared. No small tempest lay on us. And all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. That is, everybody had not lost hope. As a long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not lose from Crete to have gained this harm and loss. Now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the sheep. There stood by me this night, the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all men that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs? Let's take that together. Wherefore, sirs? Be of good cheer. For I, raise your hands, say, I believe God.
I believe God.
I believe God. Hallelujah. So even if people made it that way, say,
I believe God.
Those that caused the error were with him in the sheep. Said, I believe God. I believe God. It's the easiest thing for me. I believe God. In ministry, I believe God. In my career, I believe God. In my home, I believe God. For my body, I believe God. In my business, I believe God. I believe God. Hallelujah. I believe God. That means you have all the evidences, but I believe God. The angel said, fear not. That means there was a reason to fear. Fear is real. You see evidence of things like this, but God's word is our reality. See? It's not complicated. I believe in my heart, and I say with my mouth what I believe in my heart. What do I believe in my heart? I believe God's word in my heart. So I say with my mouth, God's word. Don't forget, fear, worry, anxiety, die unborn if they are not spoken. The next time we're going to look at this, but let me say it ahead of time. Therefore, fill your words with faith. Fill it with joy and thanksgiving. Fill your words with healing. Fill your words with God's sufficiency. Fill your words with all of God's plans. Hallelujah. Fill your words with God's word. Fill your words. Hallelujah. You know, I'll tell you something. I said, I don't see what you're seeing. See, I think. I said, I don't see what you're seeing. Praise the Lord. And in this way, I've trained my, I'll just switch off from what you're saying. I won't hear you again. I don't want to hear that. I'm not asking anyone to lie. Or speak the word of God around me. Let me hear that all things are possible to me. Praise God. Thanks be unto God. God is my sufficiency. He's my helper. He's my strengthener. He's my guide. He's my wisdom. Hallelujah. So I take good decisions. I take solid decisions. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. They give you a task at work. You say it will be done. It will be done. Praise the Lord. We'll get it done. Someone asked me, said, don't you ever think? I said, no, you do that thing and I don't think that way. Praise, I'm too positive. You know, there was like some guys like that. They were my friends. They're good guys, you know. So when they heard me talk like this, they had a prayer meeting for me. About the Larry's house. They won't be upset when they hear. They know the brother I'm talking about. Not you. You don't do that. So they're praying. So I got him. No. I got it wrong. We're having a conversation, and then he said, are you not thinking you might backslide? I said, I don't think backsliding. He said, what do you mean? I said, I cannot backslide. But the power goes, bro. I said, I won't backslide. Hallelujah. I will not. Praise the Lord. I said, the way you are talking is pride. He said, I'm boasting in God's grace. Amen. If you say, I have a big mouth, I have a big God to back it up. Yes. Hallelujah. So they now were praying for me because of what I said at Brother Bimbo's house. So I went, I saw them praying, oh Lord, touch his heart. I tapped them, stop praying for me. Now I won't do that anymore. I said, pray for yourselves. You are the ones in unbelief. They looked at me, this guy is crazy. But those were very sensitive moments of my life. I was already hearing my dad say, this path you are taking, you say you want to do this one, which God, you know, and now get to people of God. And I'm hearing the King James Version. What I was hearing in the house. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. When you have prayed, why can't you talk well? You prayed now. You're prayed and say, hey, I don't want to sound like I'm too confident. You should be confident, very too confident. Why would you be confident? I prayed. I am confident. Praise the Lord. Fill your words with joy. Fill it with thanksgiving. Fill your words with faith. Fill it. Fill it up. Some of us need to train our mouth again and again. Our tongues are now loose. Very loose. Train your words. Praise God. Fill your words with faith, expectations, hope. With the word of God. Let those around you be stirred up to believe God. Let them be stirred up to walk with God. There's some people, anything they say about the body of Christ is always wrong. Hey, the church needs revival. The church needs revival. The church needs revival. Hey, God, come and save your church. What does that mean? Save your church. Which church is he saving? Said he saved us, he bought us, he washed us. You are saying save your church. What's wrong with you? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. If it's a storm you created, speak the word. If it's the one the devil brings you away, speak the word. It was caused by others. Speak the word. Your faith overcomes any devices of the devil. Hallelujah. Speak God's word. There's a practice like that we had back then. I'm not asking you to be mechanical. We'll record God's word through a Walkman. Then I'll just be playing it. I'll be hearing myself speak God's word. Yes, this is me. This is who I am. This is who I am. This is who I am. Hallelujah. The greater one lives in me. He overcomes the wicked one. Hallelujah. My path is shining. In the name of Jesus. Even if you had a bad experience last week or last month, come out of it. Say, greater experiences are coming. Better ones are coming. Joyful ones are coming. Happier ones are coming. Victorious times are here. Yeah, victorious times are here. Lift your hands and bless the Lord. Yeah.